If I were to ask you the question, what is freedom? Most of you could probably give me a really good answer to that. You would think about the freedoms that we enjoy as Americans. You would think about being able to drive from United States boundary to another United States boundary without having papers or anything to that nature. There are many concepts that we would think about, but today I want us to take a look at a different kind of freedom. Now, if I were to ask you in turn, how would you define spiritual freedom? Would you be able to give me a ready answer the same way that you would if I were to ask you simply, what is freedom? Well, today we're going to actually be continuing our series that we've called Kingdom Culture, Resisting the World's Pull. And today we want to look at freedom in Christ. We're going to be looking at passages that come out of Galatians chapter 5. So grab that Bible. I'll be right back. Hey folks, we're glad you're joining us today for the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina. I pray that all is well with you and that you went and grabbed your Bible so that you could be right with us in the scripture text as we go over it. I mentioned a moment ago we're continuing our look at a series that we called Kingdom Culture, Resisting the World's Pull. And today we're going to look at freedom in Christ. Now, just a moment ago, I asked you about how you would define freedom. And there were probably a lot of things that readily came to your mind about how you would define freedom to somebody asking you that question. But let's think for a moment about spiritual freedom. Would you be able to define that as easily when it comes down to answering that question, should somebody else ever ask you that question? So in today's society, the concept of freedom is often misunderstood and misinterpreted. So as Christians, we have a unique understanding of true freedom that is found in Christ and Christ alone. So today we want to explore what the Bible has to say about freedom and how it differs from the world's perspective. Now, I mentioned a moment ago, we're going to be looking at passages that come out of the book of Galatians chapter 5. We're specifically going to deal with verses 13 and 14. So look over there with me if you've caught up with where we are. Galatians chapter 5, beginning with verse 13, it says this. It says, "For you, brethren, have been called to liberty. Not only liberty, only do not use liberty as an opportunity for the flesh, but through love serve one another. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself." Let's look to the Lord in a word of prayer. Father, as we come to you today, again, we ask for clarity that can come only from the Holy Spirit. Lord, as we endeavor to look at your word, I pray that your Holy Spirit would speak to our hearts. Lord, I pray that we would learn something new today from your word. Your mercies are new and fresh every morning. So Lord, I pray that today, through your word, we would be drawn closer to you. Father, I pray that if the Holy Spirit reveals that there are some adjustments that we need to make in our lives, I pray, Father, that you will truly give us the courage to take those steps to head in your direction. So, Father, today, as always, I pray that you would use me as your messenger. I pray that you would speak through me that others might hear you. So, Father, bless the short time that we'll spend together in your word today, and we'll be careful to praise you as we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, folks, so as we've taken a look at our scripture, we need to get a little bit of context with what's going on. You see, the book of Galatians was written by the Apostle Paul, and that was done so to address the issues of legalism and the true nature of freedom in Christ. Now, I want to define legalism because, you know, when you think about the term legalism, there's really nothing wrong with that particular term in its truest definition, but we've kind of changed what that definition is. Legalism, by its definition, means to follow the letter of the law. Now, that's not something that's bad in and of itself, but what's happened is that we have allowed the definition of legalism to change from its original meaning. Now, when we think about legalism, particularly from a spiritual perspective, if I were to say, You know, how would you define legalism? Most of the time, people don't define it, but they'll give me examples of it. They will give me examples of, well, you know, guys shouldn't have their hair touching their collar, and it shouldn't be on their ears, and women should, only wear dresses. And we start to look at a bunch of man-made laws and rules that we don't necessarily find in the Bible. Now, I know people would argue with that, and they would say, well, there's plenty of precept along the way. But that's a different message for a different day. But essentially, Paul is addressing the legalism and the true nature of what it means to be free in Christ. Now, the Galatians or the Galatian believers, they were being influenced by false teachers who were trying to bring them back under bondage of the law. Now, I've always said this. You got to remember that at this particular time and even the time of the New Testament church, there was a lot of adjustment that was taking place. I've mentioned even in our Wednesday Bible studies that I think one of the most difficult times probably to be a follower of Christ was during the time that Jesus was alive, as well as the time following that, because all of a sudden Jesus arrives on the scene and there's going to be something new that's going to be done. For thousands of years, they have followed the law, and it was all about law. I mean, there were times that people even went around behind the disciples as they were preaching the true gospel, the new covenant of Christ. And they would say things like, oh, okay, we know Brother Paul was with you for a revival, and we really like him. He did a great job. But there were a few things he left out. You know, he was preaching, Jesus Christ crucified, buried, resurrected, and coming again. He was preaching grace. You got that word, grace, unmerited favor. But yet what they would say is, when a Brother Paul did a really good job, but he left out one thing. He forgot to mention that you have to follow the law as well. They were trying to hold on to the old days under the old covenant before Christ, was crucified and resurrected. Now, yeah, when somebody's done something for a long time, sometimes change is hard. So that was kind of the things that Paul and the other disciples were bumping up against as they went out and as they shared Christ. Now, remember, the Galatian believers at this particular point are being influenced by false teachers, that's a key, who were trying to bring them back under the bondage of the law. Now, Paul emphasizes that true freedom is found in Christ alone and not in following any set of rules or regulations. Now, I want to be careful here because today, a lot of you might sit back and say, oh, I understand there's freedom in Christ. You're a believer. You've accepted him. You understand what true freedom means as you follow Jesus. Now, I want to tell you that there are Christians in this world today in 2026 who are taken aback because they are still trying to maintain a set of rules and regulations. Now, I hope and trust and pray that you understand my heart as I say what I'm getting ready to say. Obviously, we want to follow God's word. But for some odd reason, we seem to like to add all these different little things in there. You know, I mentioned just a few of the things a little while ago. You know, the Bible doesn't say, thou shalt not allow the hair of a male to touch your collar or to touch your ears. It doesn't say, you know, thou shalt not wear, slacks to women. It doesn't say things like that, but these are things that we've added. Now, I mentioned a moment ago that a lot of times there's some precept, you know. By the way, folks, one of the things that you need to understand is you need to learn how to read the room. You know, Paul was pretty good at that. Remember, he said, I become all things to all people that I might win some. But what he was talking about was the fact that when he was with the Jews, he understood their rules and regulations and that sort of thing. So he followed their rules and regulations. It wasn't anything that was bad. But when he was with the Gentiles, he would follow their rules and regulations, which were completely different because he had freedom in Christ. So it's not about a bunch of man-made rules. See, that is what happens under the today's definition of legalism. That's how we sort of define it. So today, as we look at our text, true freedom in Christ is not the freedom to do whatever we want to do, but it is the freedom to live in obedience to God's will. You know, it's freedom from the bondage of sin and the law, and the freedom to love and to serve others selflessly. And it's so funny because I had a conversation with a fellow that I was able in years past to spend some time with, and he was from a very legalistic biblical background. Now, yet he knew Christ, he was absolutely saved, there's no question whatsoever about that, but he was caught up in the legalism of religion. That's probably the better way for me to be able to say that. So what happened was, it was, you know, his whole life he had been taught, you know, you do all of the do's and you don't do all of the don'ts. And you spend your time, because if you do some of the don'ts, then God's going to come and just pound you on the head like a nail. That was kind of what had been impressed in him. So as time came, he began to experience the freedom that comes through Christ. And I love what he said to me. He said, you know, he said, the thing about it is, he says, it is an incredible freedom realizing the grace and the mercy of God. And one of the things I tried to pound into him is that you can't be good enough to work your way to heaven. Yeah, we're all sinners saved by grace. We fail on a daily basis. Now, we don't need to use that as an excuse to continue to fail. Obviously, we try to do good, but we don't get caught up in the man-made rules, because what happens then is that pretty much captures us once again under the law. And being under the law is what the death, burial, and resurrection freed us from, okay? So, man, I think that was just a great and incredible lesson, and it was so good for that gentleman to come and tell me that and to experience and to see the new freedom that he had found in Christ. You see, the world's view of freedom often revolves around personal autonomy or self-indulgence, but true freedom in Christ is found in surrendering our will to God's will. It's doing what God wants us to do. Now, academically, that sounds good. Academically, most people would go, yeah, I get that. I understand what that is. But the definition and the function are generally two different things. You know, when we begin to consider that, true freedom is only found in Christ. And in doing so, to find it's surrendering our will to God's will. It's not about me going and doing my own thing. It's about me, understanding and studying and working to find out what God's will for my life is, and surrendering my will to God's will to do and be everything that He wants me to be. Now, in Galatians chapter 5, specifically verses 13 and 14, Paul reminds the believers that they have been called to liberty. Remember what I mentioned a moment ago when we started our Bible study? I said, if I ask you to define liberty, how would you define it? So Paul is reminding the believers that they have been called to liberty, but this liberty that they have been called to is not to be used as an opportunity for the flesh. And too many times we will do that. And it's so funny, because I guarantee you that the Holy Spirit, with some of you that are listeners to this broadcast today, you sit back and you go, yep, I know exactly what you're talking about. And a face and a name popped into your mind about how people are using that particular freedom in a bad way. Now, let me give you an example. You know, grace, and this was addressed in the New Testament. And what was going on was, you know, the disciples were out preaching that, you know, Jesus is salvation and there is forgiveness, and that essentially that when he resurrected, he conquered, every sin that ever was and every sin that will ever be. So there was a dynamic of people who said, and by the way, there's a dynamic of people today who think and feel the same way. And their idea is, well, If all I have to do when I sin is go ask God to forgive me, then I'll just go out and sin all I want to. I call it the sin bucket. They'll take their sin bucket and they'll say, well, I can go out and do this and do this and do this. As long as I come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry, forgive me. But then what happens, they turn right around and go back out and do it again. If you've been around me any amount of time, you'll realize that what is missing in there is repentance. Repentance means I know I'm going in a wrong direction and I want to do an about face. You know, I'm going away from God. I want to do an about face and I want to come back to the Lord. So many people would essentially use God's grace and God's liberty as a license to sin. And let me tell you emphatically, that is not what Paul's teaching. That is not what the Word of God is teaching. And that is something that we should not do. It's something that we should stay away from. And remember, what is it that I was saying before, that believers, but Paul's reminding believers that they have been called to that freedom in Christ. They have been called to liberty, but not in the sense of a manner to be used as an opportunity for the flesh to rise up. Now, instead, they're called to serve one another in love. Uh-oh, here we go. We're starting to get into that again. As they serve one another in love, they will be fulfilling the law by loving their neighbor as themselves. Now, I did a sermon many, many years ago, and it says, do you love your neighbor or do you just like them? Okay. What does it mean to love your neighbor? And then, of course, the disciples also asked when they heard this, they said, who is my neighbor? Well, let me define that for you today. Your neighbor is anybody that you come in contact with. So are you really loving your neighbor as you love yourself? You know, I have seen since we came through, the pandemic in 2020 and following, people's attitudes towards one another have gotten horrible. Man, we have become a mean generation. We have become a generation that just, for some odd reason, cuts people to the bone. And unfortunately, that holds true for Christian people as well. We need to go back and remember what the Word tells us, that we're to love our neighbor as ourselves. You see, folks, true freedom in Christ is found in loving God and in loving others, not in satisfying our own selfish desires, okay? So as we look at these particular passages and as we get a better understanding on what spiritual liberty is, how does that affect us today? What is it that we can take and we can apply to our lives on an everyday basis? I mean, Paul lived a long time ago, but I'm living today. So what is it that I can do and how can I take this and make it applicable to me? Well, as Christians, we are called to live in freedom in Christ, not using our liberty as an excuse for sin, as I was describing a moment ago, but as an opportunity to serve others in love. See, we are called to live out our faith in a way that reflects the love and the grace of God and showing the world the true meaning of freedom in Christ. Is that something that we're doing? Is that something that we can do? Is that something that needs a little bit of work in our lives, okay? Is it something that the Holy Spirit has tugged on your heart about? Maybe the Holy Spirit has said, look, man, you're just being nasty to people. Maybe the lesson you got out of this today was the fact that we are called once again to love our neighbor as ourselves. Do you really do unto others as you would have them do unto you? Do you treat people in that way? Listen, that means even if they don't treat you the same in return. That was not a caveat that the scripture gave us. We're to love our neighbor as ourselves. And folks, you know what? One of the things I've learned as well is that we do a really good job at loving ourselves in a lot of different shape, forms, and fashions. And sometimes that puts us in the fleshly, the selfishness puts us in the flesh, wanting to live for what we want, what our desires are, rather than seeking freedom in Christ in realizing He's already got a plan for your life. All we have to do is discover His blueprint, turn our lives over to Him. So folks, as we kind of wind things up today, we need to understand that true freedom in Christ is found in living a life of obedience to God's will, to serving others in love, and to fulfilling the law through love. Did you get those three things? Let me give them to you again. Freedom in Christ is found in living a life of obedience. That's huge. Obedience to God's will, not your own will, but God's will. That's number one. Serving others. How are you doing in the arena of serving other people? The Word tells us that even the Savior did not come to be served, but He came to serve. So remember, obedience to God's will, number one, serving others in love is number two, and fulfilling the law through love. Now, what law are we talking about? We didn't say that when Christ was born and when He went through the crucifixion and the resurrection that you just completely throw the law out. But no, that was described by teachings of the disciples in the New Testament. But the law shows us where we're messing up, okay? But we don't have to live under it. We live under the freedom of God's grace in this age that we call the age of grace, okay? So what we need to do is embrace the freedom that we have in Christ. And we need to live our lives in a way that honors and glorifies Him. So if I were to ask you today, how you doing when it comes down to that? What would you say? Now, again, I'm asking you, but I'm not asking you that you're going to, you know, give me any sort of feedback on that. I'm asking you that because I got a feeling the Holy Spirit pointed some things out in our lives. You know, maybe in your life, He said, hey, here are some things you really need to work on. You need to work on, loving your brothers as yourself. Maybe you need to work on, something that's on the spiritual freedom aspect of things. Maybe you need to kind of climb down off of your high horse and quit being judgmental of others because maybe you're caught up in legalism, just like my buddy was. You know, you've been taught your whole life, got to do these do's and don't do these don'ts, and that is the extent of the Christian life. No. There is freedom in God's grace. There is freedom in living with Him surrounding us in each and every day of our lives. And He is not that cosmic killjoy that wants to strike us dead because we didn't follow some sort of man-made rules, okay? Please understand that. And if you couldn't sit back and say, well, I'm doing pretty good in this particular area, then I just want to encourage you today, spend some time with the Heavenly Father to get those things worked out, that you might be all that He wants you to be as you continue your walk with Him. Okay, let me have a word of prayer with us, and then I'll tell you about what we're going to be reading this week, and then what we're going to be looking at next week as we continue our series. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for the freedoms that we have in Christ. Lord, I pray that You will help us to live in obedience to Your will, not ours. Lord, help us not to succumb to the selfishness that we have in and of ourselves, but help us to be obedient to Your will. Lord, help us truly to be serving others out of love, not because we're just trying to check that box on a list, but Lord, because we love our neighbors. We desire to be obedient to You, and we desire to serve others. And Lord, help us to do it out of true love for them. Lord, I pray that You will help us to reflect on Your grace and Your mercy, and may we truly be a reflection of that to the world and all the people that we come in contact with. Lord, may we never take our freedom for granted, but Lord, may we use it to bring glory to Your name. And Lord, I pray this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All righty, folks, let me tell you about what we're going to be looking at for this week as well as heading into next week. Once again, next week, we are going to continue our series titled Kingdom Culture, Resisting the World's Pull. As you think about all these topics, these are things that we're talking about that are trying to pull us away from Christ. They're trying to pull us away from the spiritual things and trying to pull us into the worldly things. So each and every topic that we've covered is designed for us to get the proper picture on what the kingdom culture should be, okay? So next week, we're going to be in Sermon 5 of our Kingdom Culture series, and next week, we're going to look at love that transforms. I want you to spend some time in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Many will call that the love chapter, but 1 Corinthians chapter 13, we're specifically going to deal with verses 4 through 7 next week. And in doing so, we're going to investigate how biblical love stands in stark contrast to the cultural definition of love. And prayerfully, we're going to be empowered to engage the world with grace and truth that the Lord has put within us. I always like to say it this way. We need to be walking with the Lord so close that it just oozes out of us. When people look at us, they see and they know that we are one of the children of the King, and that we're representing Him, not because this is what we're saying to do, but because we're living it out in our lives, and they see there's something different about us. So I pray that you will spend some time in 1 Corinthians 13 this week, and that you will prayerfully join us next week for Sermon 5 of Kingdom Culture, Resisting the World's Pull. And we're going to, again, look at how love transforms people. So before we sign off today, I want to thank you for joining us. For the Wednesday Bible study of Central Baptist Church in Oak Ridge, North Carolina, I want to give you a personal invitation to join us on Sunday mornings. We're located in the heart of Oak Ridge at 1715 Highway 68 North. If you need information, you can go to our website that's listed on the screen, but it's www.oakridgecbc.org. So that stands for Oak Ridge Central Baptist Church, or Charlie Baker Charlie, oakridgecbc.org. Or you can contact us. We'll give you any information that you may need to determine your visit with us. And we would certainly love to have you. Our service times are at 10:45 on Sunday mornings, and we look forward to seeing you there. As always, there are other discipleship opportunities throughout the week that you can get involved in. So my prayer is that I'll see you on Sunday. God bless. Have a great week.